Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, I'm thrilled to have back with us one of our favorite perennial guests, our man Thomas Fry, our futurist from the Da Vinci Institute, always looking into the future and trying to figure out what people are going to do next. Thomas, first of all, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Mandy.
Well, I love the two topics that you sent me today. I love the columns that you sent. One, because I knew that there was a problem making that giant trans-American highway from Alaska to the bottom of South America, but I didn't know what it was. And we'll get to the Darien Gap in just a moment. But you, in the second article, hit on something that I have been openly hoping for so long, so long. And that is significant changes in our work week. And you've got an article called, "In Case You Didn't Get the Memo, The Nature of Work Has Just Changed." And it's kind of an observation of the way our workforce and the way we work has been permanently altered by COVID. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that is a fair assessment. A recent study that was done by Ernst & Young actually concluded that not only the employees like the idea of a four-day work week, but the employers like it as well. And the level of productivity is not going down. And in a lot of cases, it's actually going up, having a four-day work week. And so it has positive aspects all around. So many companies are planning to change to a four-day work week.
How fast is that transition going to take place? In your mind, are we talking about 10% of businesses are going to transition, 50%? What is that going to look like?
It looks like closer to 50%. In the survey, they had 40% of the people that were in the survey that had made a commitment to make that transition.
Wow.
And so I think it goes up.
I'm sorry, I just said, wow, continue.
Okay. Yeah. And so this is really quite a spectacular thing, because people were taking off personal time during the week so they could get the tires fixed on their car, so they could go to the doctor, so that they could attend to things with their parents or their kids. And now they're going to have the freedom to do that. And so that opens the door so that people can actually, when it's time to work, they can actually focus on doing the work. And that's a big shift.
Well, are we talking about three-day weekends every weekend? Are we talking about a weekend and then an additional day off during the week? Or is this all going to be decided by what the employers need?
I think it'll depend a lot on what the employers need. Like if you're a retail store, you need a lot of coverage. If you're a restaurant, you need a lot of man hours for coverage. And so it doesn't apply to everything, but it will apply to lots of the positions that are out there that have the ability to actually flex the work to make it work for both the employer and the employee.
I feel like this will not become a permanent thing or become cemented in our culture until the financial services industry and the markets change to a four-day weekend. Is that going to happen ever?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, actually, we're operating on kind of a 24/7 market anyway. And so I'm not so sure that that's the only bellwether consideration there. I think maybe that plays into it somehow, but I just don't think that that's going to be the only thing that decides it.
Well, I mean, there are lots of industries detached from the financial services industry. So it's not like you have to wait until they do it to make this change. But I feel like in our society, a lot of our business culture and our business rhythm is tied to the fact that the financial markets are open today or they're not open today. And banks are open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday or they're not open on the weekends. And I feel like now we're also seeing companies like Wells Fargo, other financial services companies are now demanding that their guys and girls come back to the office. So they didn't get the memo that work is changing. Do you think that they are going to have to adapt as people say, I'm leaving your industry to go work for an industry where they're more flexible with my time off?
Yeah, I think this is where the AI bots come into play where... yeah, my bot takes over on Friday while I'm gone, and that might do just as well or even better than I would if I was in that position.
That's not what you want to have happen. No, you never want your bot to do a better job than you are. That's terrible.
Yeah, we're playing a lot of games with bots lately, and so we don't know where this is all going to end up, but. This seems like a significant shift is occurring right now, though, in how the workplace is kind of framing out the start and stop times and how the expectations for employees is changing. So I think there's lots of openings for other changes as well.
Well, I do think that in the more competitive industries where you have a lot of people being sought after for, you know, by multiple employers, this is going to be one of those things that they're going to be able to use to woo the top talent and say, look, you know, we work 4 days a week. You work hard during those 4 days, but you have 3 days off. During COVID, I think a lot of us were like, God, I spend too much time at work.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. Now, somebody who suddenly doesn't have to commute to work every day, that opens up an extra 28 days in their life each year. Now, what would you do with an extra 28 days in your life? I mean, that's a whole different level of freedom that you just suddenly got handed to you. And so whether you have to show up at work or not show up at the office, that's a big consideration. Now, the 4-day work week is another one. And all of these... the employers are going to look at this as the incentives that the best way to attract the talent that they need.
And hopefully that'll happen. I mean, this is something I've talked about for years. I keep an eye on all these pilot programs that are happening in different places around the world. I know that a lot of companies, and I want to say it was a Danish study, a lot of the companies that signed on for it for 6 months or a year stayed with it after it was over because everyone liked it and it worked really well. Happy employees, plenty of time to take care of their own business. So when they were at work, this is the other part of it. When they were at work, they were highly focused on what they were doing at work because they were able to take care of those other distractions. And I think that that's something that people have realized, you know, it's hard to stay focused at work when you've got all of these other little things that need to be taken care of and no time to do it.
Yeah, exactly. This is giving us room to experiment. And we've not really had that much latitude in the past. So maybe this is one of the good things that's happened through the COVID era. But we'll see how this plays out over the next 5 years. It'll be interesting to watch.
Well, someone just asked on our Centaur Health text line, is this 4 days work for 5 days pay, or is this a pay cut for all?
No, this is the pay stays the same. And in some cases, the hours, it ends up being 10 hours a day for 4 days a week. But in a lot of cases, people are working when they have to. I mean, they make calls overseas early in the morning and late at night, and so it's not a consistent straight 10 hours that you're working. It depends on what the job demands.
A lot of people are asking for specifics, and again, the specifics would have to be determined by the employer, what that actually looks like. So, because like my thinking, every day's a 3-day weekend may not be the way it ends up being. Maybe that's something you gain through seniority in your company where you're like, yeah, I'm going to take the 3-day weekend. You may be the person that has the weekend and Wednesday off or the weekend and Tuesday off. So I think it's one of those things that as businesses work through their staffing and make sure that they're covered and make sure their productivity is good, you're going to see a lot of different incarnations of this that work based on what works for an individual industry.
Yeah. And if you work for Elon Musk, you're probably going to be working 70 hours a week anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Okay. Let's talk about the Darien gap for a moment. And it is the Darien gap, right? That's how you pronounce that?
That's correct. Okay. Yes.
So I've known about the Trans-American Highway for a very long time. And in theory, it's going to go from Alaska all the way down to the tip of South America. So if you were so inclined, you could get in your car and you could drive all the way down the western coast of North and South America. And I knew that there was a hiccup. I knew there was a problem, but I didn't know what the problem was until I read this article on the Darien Gap. What is the Darien Gap?
It's a section of land about 60 miles long between the countries of Panama and Colombia, and it's a very difficult piece of land. It's jungle and mountain, and it's environmentally sensitive. It's just an area that's very difficult to cross, although that has been changing. So this was originally planned as a 19,000-mile the highway that you could go from the tip of Alaska down to the tip of South America and do it all with a car. But this one obstacle, the Darien Gap, stood in the way. And now people are figuring out how to cross it. A lot of people from Venezuela that are trying to migrate to the mm-hmm. U.S. are figuring out how to cross this section of land. And it's kind of getting into the news again.
Well, I found this article, this discussion you had with the Colombian transportation minister back in 2015, very illuminating, because it seems like there are a lot of roadblocks that are continually lofted. You know, it is environmentally sensitive. It's very, very rugged landscape, but there doesn't seem to be a big push. And you would think that Colombia and Panama would want this done, because though most of our you know, trade with South America is done via ship, this would open up transit routes that would benefit their countries. But do you feel like this is getting the traction that it needs, or are we still mired in the same issues we've been mired in for 40 years?
Yeah, I don't think it's getting the traction that it needs. I think that once this stretch of highway would be completed, whether it's bridging it around the ocean or partly through the ocean, partly through tunnels or whatever it might be, that suddenly this opens up a corridor that's it's a good commercial district all along this highway, up and down, all through Latin America and all through South America. And I think it improves the economy all along the way. I think it needs further discussion, and what better time than right now?
Well, Thomas, I was saying earlier on the show that, you know, if you want to talk about why we have such a huge issue at the border, it's because the economic opportunity in Central and South America, along with the safety issues in Central and South America, the people feel like they have to leave. They have to go find their fortunes elsewhere. And if we were able to create an easy to navigate route that would allow commerce to go from Central America to North America, for, you know, not even to South America. It may always make sense to put that on ships, but at least you have that overland option. It opens up agricultural markets that currently are not open because of the length of time of transit. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity that would, in the long term, greatly reduce the number of people seeking asylum here, because they would finally have real economic opportunity in their own country. Not to mention, I mean, if we're talking about this in the big picture, seeing what we went through with supply chain shortages from China, imagine being able to say, look, we're going to set up a factory, and if all else fails, we'll drive the stuff up. You know, we have options. Whereas from China, there's no way to do that.
Yeah, and this is, we're moving into an era where big mega projects like this seem much more doable. they seem much more possible. And throwing a lot of money at a project like this would, during the construction phase, that would feed the economies of both Colombia and Panama in a huge mm-hmm. way. And then as it gets built, as sections of it get finished, that helps incentivize all kinds of additional work to be done in the areas. And so I don't know, it seems like the timing is good right now for somebody to actually jump in and push this one through. I don't know. I think it's a win-win for everybody around both sides of both ends of the bridge, so to speak.
Are you aware of any other similar infrastructure project or bridge or tunnel system that would be comparable, where we could look at another large scale project like this and say, okay, that's our starting point, and now how do we make adjustments for that project to make it work for the Darien Gap? Do we even have that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility of bridging from Spain down to Africa. It's a little over a mile, and that bridge has never been built either. The one from Russia to the United States,
right by Sarah Palin's house.
By Alaska.
Yeah. Up by Sarah Palin's house, right there, that one, where she could see Russia from. I'm sorry. It's still one of the funniest non-quote quotes ever.
That's actually been approved a couple of times by Russia, and it's never been finished, partly because there's no roads even close to getting across there. So they'd have to build thousands of miles of highway, actually, to make that one work. And then there's several other that have been proposed around the world, similar to that. But this one, the Darien Gap, seems the most doable, and it seems like it's the most urgent, at least in my mind.
Agree on that one for sure. I mean, I think that would go a long way towards really opening those economic development corridors that have to be opened if we're ever going to stop the flood of people at the southern border. And you know, we grew up in a country with lots of opportunity, but if you don't have any opportunity where you're from, any go-getter is going to try and find it somewhere else. And that's what's happening now. Thomas Fry, it is a joy to see you as always. If you want Thomas to study your industry, come talk to your group about anything in the future. The only thing he doesn't look into the future on is weather forecasting. So we have a different guy for that, Thomas. We have our friend Dave Frazier to talk about weather forecasting. Thomas, it's good to see you, my friend.
All right. Great. Thanks for having me on, Mandy.
All right. That's Thomas Fry, the Da Vinci Institute. We'll talk to you again soon, sir. Bye, Thomas.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.